Well, we're going to go anyhow to beautiful Indiana, and
yes,
it's cold and there's a storm, then we'll just drive through the cold and drive through the storm. Mm-hmm.
Glad we have a Jeep.
Just go slow.
It looks like there is.
It's gone 6 miles to a gallon. Better get there. Now, about twice that. And hopefully we'll have a good set of meetings. I have succeeded, I think, in getting things lined up to be on 2 radio stations in the Kokomo-Anderson area.
Oh.
One of them is ESPN Sports, and the other one is Talk and News. So I really don't care to be on religious stations per se. And I think that I do better in this environment. So that at any rate, you know, I've been at this for 30 years. You think I know enough to quit.
But
if I can put some people in a mind of wanting to find out more about this, that they would go to Justin's group and help him to grow, that would be a good thing. And if it turns out to be a monumental success that helps his assembly, then I would like it when he gets to where he can to take over the program.
Yes.
And do it himself. Mm-hmm. If it turns out to be a monumental failure, it hadn't cost him anything.
Right. Yeah.
And he hasn't wasted any time with it. And so it's win-win for him, and that's where I would like him to be.
Yes.
So that's good news, I think.
Amen.
I know my head doesn't work like a lot of people's heads work, and
Amen.
I've kind of figured that out. It just has struck me the last 2 days how weird it is to have so little mention of December 7th, the day that will live forever in infamy,
yes,
and so much mention of one of the most wicked men maybe ever in John Lennon. Imagine there's no heaven, imagine there's no hell, and just you had to really be listening closely to hear anything about the greatest generation of people that fought, and ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
Yes.
And 3,000 killed, and we could have lost that war.
Yes.
And
very easily.
Almost no mention of it that I heard, and just John Lennon wall to wall.
Yeah.
And what exactly did he offer our culture? So, imagine there's no heaven, imagine there's no hell. Well, imagine that, John, because you're burning in it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, I noticed that, and something else hit me, and when's the last hostage crisis that we've had? Of course, we had Jimmy Hoffa for 440, or Jimmy Carter Hoffa. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Hoffa, as everybody knows, is buried under the uprights in New York Giant Stadium.
Absolutely.
But 444 days with Jimmy Carter. But I think Daniel Ellsberg, and you know, we haven't had a lot of hostage activity.
A couple days ago.
Well, that's a couple days ago was the same guy that's been captured for over a year, though. I think.
No, it's us. That's what he's talking about.
Well, what I heard the leader of the free world say was that the opposition political party was holding hostage the tax cuts for the middle class and the poor, and he was holding them hostage to get the tax cuts maintained for the people making $250,000 on up. And he said that normally he wouldn't negotiate with hostage takers, but since this would hurt American people, he negotiated. Now I'm thinking, he's making an illustration, and he's so pedantic. You see, he's so much with that mindset. instead of being a professorial type. If you're Osama bin Laden and you hear the President of the United States say, I will negotiate with hostage takers if American people are in jeopardy, mm-hmm. I'm thinking, we've been taking a lot of hostages lately, we better get back at that.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking within the next couple of weeks you're going to see it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I heard him say, and I thought, good night, man. I know you're talking about economics, and I know you're mad at the Republicans, and I know you're sick of Nancy Pelosi, but have you put two and two together and imagine how this might sound to the people that are trying to kill us?
Yes.
I thought, that's stunning. And I haven't heard a whole lot of people say anything about it.
No.
I'd love to be wrong. I'd love to be wrong. But if the president of the free world, of the leader of the free world, is willing to negotiate with hostage takers because Americans might lose a paycheck, he's folded like a cheap card table over this. We all saw that.
Yes.
How quickly will he negotiate if a life is in danger?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what's going on. I see this Assange guy hanging's too good for him.
Absolutely.
It's just weird what's going on. It's just getting stranger and stranger. I saw this in the paper today. They sold a book I wouldn't mind having. We went to Henderson, Kentucky to look at it at the Audubon Museum, and they sold one of his folios for $10.27 million.
Mm-hmm.
At Sotheby's, yeah. So, you know, those pictures, you see how huge they are and how gorgeous they are. But I'm just...
They're life-size.
Yeah.
We had to have big stages.
All right. So I told you about the radio. Aggravated about John Lennon. Making one of my stellar predictions sure to not come true, that there will be hostages taken in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And now that that's all out of the way, we can get to Galatians.
Yes.
Chapter 3.
Yes.
We've come a long way. This will put us halfway through when we finish Galatians chapter 3 this evening. So, 24 lessons, 24 hours, 3 chapters of the Bible. Mm-hmm. So, if you really need to pick up the pace. I hope I haven't been repetitive. I hope I haven't given you... I mean, we've rolled right along, I think, and there's just a lot of material. If Peter's right that the Scripture can't be broken, you can start with one verse and preach the whole Bible.
Yeah.
Because it's all interconnected at some level, isn't it? So Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up until the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law, past tense, was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now, the schoolmaster is that which is a demonstrator of our sinfulness. And if you didn't know it, you're a sinner. And if that makes you mad that I accuse you of that, God accused you of it long before I ever showed up.
Amen.
Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Right.
Now, there's no question that people attempt self-justification. And in my series on evangelism that's on my website and is a part of the Dispensational Bible Institute, to which, by the way, we've had a new graduate, apparently, a fellow in Niles, Michigan, this last week, in the evangelism section of DBI and in my website, I make the point that when you're dealing with the bum on the streets, when you're dealing with the prisoner who's got everything going against him, you're still dealing with two very self-righteous people, because at least they're not like Jimmy Swaggart. At least they're, you know, they've got some sort of self-justification going for them. And in Luke chapter 16, verse 15, the Lord speaks to it that they justify themselves before men. And there's a lot of that in human nature. worshiping the creature rather than the creator is what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1. It's important for us to realize that it is his righteousness, Romans chapter 3, verse 25, and not ours. If there were a law, then we should keep it. But the law of faith is what Paul refers to in Romans chapter 16, verse 26, and that is that we have faith in God's provision for us, and God's provision for us is on Calvary's cross. Nothing more, nothing less. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, Amen. Lord Jesus Christ. When you read the verses in chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, you see it includes the words, to bring us unto Christ. And Pastor Stamm goes on at some length, and starting on page 197 in his commentary on Galatians, to say, I truly feel that they, the words to bring us, should not have been supplied. Now, when you look at your authorized version, you see that those are italicized words. And so the idea then is Pastor Stamm is smarter than the 52 men who translated the King James Bible and has more manuscript acumen than did they. That's a pretty good shot. One of the things that folks need heads up about is if you buy in to things such as what Pastor Stamm has said in his commentary, you buy out of a Bible-believing position. And now you need Pastor Stamm to tell you what he truly feels belongs in the Bible and what he truly feels doesn't belong in the Bible. I have always resided in the same place, and if you disagree, it's a free country, and if you don't understand it, that's fine too. God's perfect word has been preserved for us in a book we can access called the King James Bible, and I'm not smart enough, and I've never met anybody who is, that has the background. I wonder how familiar Pastor Stamm is with Bancroft's rules for translating that the King James translators went by. I wonder how familiar Pastor Stamm is with the books that were on the desk when the King James translators translated, and how familiar he is with how those 52 men were in four camps, and each would translate a section, and then they would see what they were translating and go over one another's, and then they would have meetings to hash out where there might be issue. I wonder, he feels there's three words that don't belong in the Bible. If you'd like to throw out three words, the difference between you and the Episcopal priest, Bishop Spong, who doesn't go by hardly any of the words, it's just a matter of degree. Maintain fidelity to your Bible, and it'll work effectually in you that believe. Now, the issue of the faith that is in the passage we talked about last time, being not anybody's faith, not an individual's faith, but a faith setting. Because obviously, Adam and Eve had faith to do certain things, Cain and Abel had faith to do or not to do certain things, Noah had faith to build an ark. I mean, God spoke to him one time, as Bill Cosby points out. He was a long time building the ark. So, faith goes from one end of the book to the other, but a setting where faith stands alone and is the hallmark, saved by grace through faith, is unique to our dispensational setting.
Yes.
Now, we know that we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 makes it very, very clear, since you'll not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Paul makes the point that all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Some will get you locked up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there is a common sense about it. There is a right and a wrong, and that didn't change just because you're saved. Right's still right, wrong's still wrong. Mm-hmm. And you don't get brought under the power of your sin life when you reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. And so Paul's making that point.
Amen.
And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he again says, all things are lawful unto me. The fact that all things are lawful unto me doesn't mean that I'm going to do whatever I jolly well please.
Yes.
That's what an unsaved man would think. I'm going to do what would be pleasing to my Lord.
Yes.
That's what a saved man would think. And so I'm constrained by the love of Christ.
Amen.
That then is the mitigating factor whereby I said to you before, and I think it's a well said saying, that before you get to being free from the law in Romans chapter 7, you need to be dead in Romans chapter 6. Mm-hmm. So you're dead in Romans chapter 6 in verses 3 and 4. You're baptized into Christ's death. And then Romans chapter 6, verses 10, 11, and 12, you reckon yourself indeed dead. So you need to be dead, Romans chapter 6. Now I can set you free from the law because you're dead. And then, now that you're dead and set free from the law, I can talk to you about Christian service, which is what Romans chapter 8 is all about. So the progression is profound. You and I, then, don't minister reconciliation by putting people in guilt trips or putting them under the law.
That's right.
We use the schoolmaster to demonstrate sinfulness because it's important that we realize there's a need for a Savior. Most of America today thinks that they're good enough without Him, or that some 40-some percent think that Jesus Christ was no better than they, think that He was a sinner as well. So it's important to use the law lawfully and to be a skilled workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You and I, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, have a word of reconciliation. We have a ministry of reconciliation. We have a purpose. And it's not to hang candles on trees. It's not to dress up as Santa Claus and give the boys and girls a new pair of mittens. Our purpose in Christ is to make known what is the gospel of the grace of God and to make known what is the fellowship of the mystery. We then are crucified with Christ. We are operating in this faith dispensation, not under the law, but we're cognizant of the law. We use the law lawfully, skillfully, hopefully. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8 that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. I'm not going to put you into Malachi chapter 3 verse 9 to get money out of you.
That's right.
When in Malachi chapter 3 verses 9 and 10, I put you back under the curse where you can't go because Christ has been made a curse for you. So the teaching of tithing, as offensive as it is on a monetary level, is much more offensive on a doctrinal level because it puts people in the weak and beggarly setting where they can lose what they've got and be cursed by God. That is so wicked for a pulpit to put that on people for the sake of the almighty buck. It's just, I think, past finding out. It is shameful, but that also happens to be state of the art.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks measure whether or not you are a good member and a good Christian by your tithe checks and very little else. It's then, I think, needful as we work our way through this section that we don't dismiss the law as having no function in the dispensation of God's grace. We'd be just as wrong to say that grace had no function in the dispensation of the law. God's grace meets their faith as they perform the law program. We're free from the law,
Amen.
But we're not antinomian lawbreakers, seeing how much proverbial H-E double hockey sticks we can raise and still go to heaven. That's not us.
No.
So it's important that we understand that the law was a schoolmaster. It's past tense. There's no question about it. But you know what? The Apostle Paul himself said if he had done an offense worthy of death, that he would submit to being executed.
That's right.
The law. The function of the law was to order a society to make Israel understand that they had transgressed. Those aren't bad functions.
No.
Now, we spent a fair amount of time, a lot of time, I suppose, emphasizing Abraham in his different settings in his life. In Genesis chapter 12 is where he gets the covenant without a conditional. God just tells him, here's what I'm going to do. There's no if, there's no then. Abraham in Genesis 12 is uncircumcised. You say he's a Gentile, wasn't everybody?
Yes.
difference. No, there was no distinction. There was no middle wall of partition. That doesn't show up until Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, then, would be a very important thing about Abraham's life, because all of a sudden he's separated from everybody else by a particular covenant in flesh that God commanded. When Abraham's faith is said to be counted for righteousness, it's between those two settings.
Right.
It's in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, which means then, when Paul uses it in reference to verse 12, and when James uses that verse, Genesis 15, verse 6, in reference to Genesis 27, then you can have a great deal of confusion if you don't keep those things straight in your head and understand that there is a difference between them.
Yes.
And, of course, the confusion that people have over James chapter 2 and Romans chapter 4 has been around for a long, long time, and you'll find it in comment. You'll find Martin Luther saying that he'd like to light his fire with the book of James, and the issue was the just made justified by works, as had been Abraham. And Paul turns around in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, verse 1, and says that we're justified by faith. The confusion runs rampant. We need to be able to do better than that and to get a grip on it. So that's why we spent so much time on it. And having done that, we should be able to breeze through the next five verses with no big deal of a problem. And the reason for that is because you've got a solid foundation of understanding what Paul is talking about.
Yes.
Paul is not making you Israel. Paul is not making you Abraham's physical seed. Paul is not putting Abraham's physical promises in your suitcase for you to take home with you. Paul has raised the issue of justification by faith and faith counted for righteousness separate from the law program. So that's been the theme all the way from verse 2 all the way down to where we now are.
Yes.
All the way through verse 22, which is why I said to you a long time ago, 24 lessons ago, that when we get to Galatians chapter 3, almost every verse in it deals with a problem that people have. Mm-hmm. And certainly we've seen that. And now we've got what I call hands full of heresies to complete the chapter, because each one of the verses that completes this chapter is a launching pad for some really bad teaching.
Yeah.
You won't launch because you know the difference between Abraham in circumcision, Abraham out of circumcision. You know the difference between the seed singular and the seed plural. You know the difference between the law program and the grace program. So you've marched through it to where now you've got all the joints secure, you've got all the bricks in place, you've got the foundation in place, and you've got the rebar in, you're ready to build.
Yeah.
So you don't have a problem with these sorts of things, and that's good.
Yes.
Verse 25 is used to teach antinomianism, which is lawlessness. It doesn't matter what you do, go ahead. And again, Martin Luther said, every saint of God needs a bottle of wine and a wench to remind him he's a sinner. A little antinomianism going on there. A little muddle-headed thinking going on there. And that's from the founder of the Protestant Reformation. Well, verse 26 is used by liberals to teach a universality, that everybody's a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
And my is not that popular. And if you come along and say, well, he's a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus, which is what the verse actually says, mm-hmm. but he's not a child of God by Muslim faith or by Joe Smith or Mary Baker, Lover Patterson, Eddie, why, you are such a intemperate, judgmental person. We don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
All you're trying to do is get them saved.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All you're trying to do is help them to understand that eternal life rests in Jesus Christ and not in Joe Smith or Brigham Young or the horse they rode in on. Verse 27 is used to teach baptismal regeneration by water. Verse 28 is used to promote a female pulpit and used to promote homosexuality. Mm-hmm. And verse 29 is where the post-millennialists grab Israel's blessings and attempt to run off with them and hide. Mm-hmm. Now, I make a statement here that, please remember, every heretic you will ever meet will quote the Bible. Mm-hmm. I know they get pretty far out, some of them, with the planet Kolob. Carol just found me a book. We were over at, where were we? The Goodwill.
Yeah.
And she found a book there about Christ when he came to the American Indians.
Oh, yeah.
And all that good stuff. And it's published by Kolob Publishing Company, which is the name of Donnie and Marie's record company, the Kolob Record Company. I'll grant you, some of them get over there pretty far out, but most every wrong teaching you will ever encounter will quote some Bible.
Yes.
That's why they are so certain they're right. They didn't wake up in the middle of the night and come up with some of this stuff. They are misapplying Bible.
Yes.
And the mitigating factor is the ability of their failure to be able to rightly divide the word of truth.
Yes.
Well, let's deal with the hands full of heresy verses, that after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. People take verse 25 to mean that you can live however you want to and it doesn't matter. This is particularly ascribed to the people of the Acts 28 position,
yes,
but to a lesser degree and certainly to some degree to the mid-Acts dispensationalists as well, and to the Acts 2 Presbyterians and Baptists who teach the security of the believer.
Yeah.
So this is a broad brush that paints a lot of us, mm-hmm, with this condemnation that you think it doesn't matter how you live. Actually, I run into people that believe that. But how you live does matter.
Yes, it does.
And if you're going to preach Christ and Him crucified, it would be nice if you could get people's attention.
Yes.
And they weren't so put off by your beer breath and you know, some of the, mm-hmm, your cussing, you know, get the dirt out of the way so that you can present the clarity of the gospel. That's important. I believe that's important. In Romans chapter 6, we're to reckon ourselves indeed dead, dead indeed unto sin. You know, dead people don't rob a 7-Eleven. So, you change who you are. Your life is hid with God in Christ, and you're crucified with Christ. You see Colossians 3:3. You're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. It's no longer about you and me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm supposing that we will still be attempting to learn exactly what that means when we take our last breath. We'll still be growing in that direction, hopefully, to be dead to my old self. When I'm probably the most selfish person I know, it's probably me. And if the truth were known, you could say the same thing about yourself.
Yes, amen.
Probably the most selfish person you know that thinks about you more. Nobody thinks about you more than you think about you.
That's right. Shame on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's so counterintuitive to how we're built to recognize my life ended when the Lord saved my soul.
Yes.
I have to tell you, when the Lord saved my soul, I didn't know the old man was dead.
No.
It took a while to learn these things. Mm-hmm. I needed to be taught. I needed to learn from this book the new position that God has given me. And then I needed to endeavor to walk in that newness of life, Romans chapter 6, verse 4.
Yes.
So, Galatians chapter 3, verse 25, used to teach antinomianism. We've got men in the so-called grace movement, one particular fellow cursed right in his pulpit.
Yeah.
What? Where did that come from? And the grace impetus seems to be lowering how we live rather than raising how we live. Why is it better for the preacher to dress down, to be more common, to be, I mean, put on the Nikes and the cutoffs and the polo shirt and preach and teach. Why is it commendable to be more carnal rather than less?
Good question.
Why must our illustrations for our sermons be so fleshy? Where'd this come from? Where'd this come from? Well, we just want to be one of the gang.
No,
that's what you got saved out of.
Amen.
You're not in the gang anymore.
That's right.
And perhaps that's the worst place you could be, is within the gang.
Yeah.
Get out of that. You're a new creature.
Amen.
Hold your head up and act like him.
There you go.
So, I'm reminded of a young lady who walked into my Christian bookstore, and her clothes were so tight, if she'd have had a quarter in her pocket, I could have told you if it was a U.S. quarter, Canadian quarter, whether it was yesterday. Didn't know the button, this one. And it's pulled out because we got our Marlboros in here. Not exactly the look that, well, that I find becoming. So I look at her and I'm pregnant or something. She probably needs to hear the gospel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I talked to her about how Christ died for sins.
Oh yeah.
And she had a pretty clear testimony of understanding the death, burial, and resurrection, nothing more, nothing less. She understood my being perplexed. And she said, well, you know, I used to wear real nice dresses and I didn't smoke and I looked a whole lot different when I was a Nazarene. But now I'm a Baptist and I know I can't lose it, so it doesn't matter.
No.
And I thought, wow. That's called being wrong both times. Being wrong both times. She looked pretty for the wrong reason. She looks like a bum for the wrong reason. She was wrong twice.
No.
If we're to do all that we do for His glory, that kind of is intimidating. You're afraid to get out of bed in the morning. I'll do something wrong. The confidence that comes from knowing who you are in Christ Jesus is a life changer.
Yes.
And it will remind you that what matters is Him. When that gets to be on the front burner, then life gets a little easier. Verse 26, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Folks like to say, we're all children of God. Folks like to say, we're all people of faith.
Yeah.
Neither one of those cuts the mustard. Neither one of those is sufficient. Neither one of those is adequate. My lovely Lord Jesus said, you are of your father the devil.
Yes.
He apparently had flunked out of Carnegie's course on how to win friends and influence people in John chapter 8, verse 44. He's right alongside their head, isn't he? And our politicians like to talk about being people of faith. I gave you a pass out Sunday where on the bottom left hand the president said, I am a devout Christian.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to look up devout.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that a little bit. Because devout, I think, speaks to a behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks to religiosity.
Yeah.
And isn't particularly a faith issue. I read his book. I couldn't find salvation and a testimony of it there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not encouraged having read Sarah Palin's books or George Bush's books. We got politicians.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love it if they were saved.
Yeah.
Governor Jimmy Davis, down south, he's writing more than 600 hymns while he's down there.
Yeah.
He's singing in the legislature. He's. I can't imagine. Can you? Having a saved government? What a concept. You walk into his office and he's singing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Glory. Well, it's not a matter of faith. You see, faith doesn't stand alone. Faith has an object.
Yes.
And the object of my faith is not the 6-foot-tall God that lives on the planet Kolob. Not him. That's Brigham Young's God. That's Joe Smith's God.
Yes.
By the way, all the people that live on the sun, they're all uniform, 6-foot-tall, and then they live on the moon, they're 6-foot-tall. Some of them mean 6-foot-tall. Yeah, they do sound crackers, don't they?
Yeah.
Only puts me in funny when they start running your country, when they start owning the media, when they start getting Christians to say, "Well, I like you for other reasons." Be careful. You're out there with the alligators in the swamp. What do the Catholics do when they have power? 200 people die.
60 million.
40 million, 60 million. It's a big number. Crusades by the millions. Popes crowning kings. That's a big picture. Big outfit. Like a little bitty outfit. Homegrown. Mm-hmm. What did the Mormons do when they had power in Utah and Nevada? Mm-hmm. Did they add hit squads?
Yes,
did
right.
They murder people?
Oh, yeah.
Did they print their own currency?
Yeah.
Did they have a vigilante system of...
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Very just.
There's a Danite.
Nope. No question about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's different now.
Right. We'll see how that works out for you. Verse 25, faith, not schoolmaster. Verse 26, faith, having the object of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear people talk about Mother Nature. And guess what? There's Father God.
Amen.
Don't bother me with Mother Nature. I hug my trees. But not because I believe in evolution or global warming. It's because I paid a lot of money for them. Trimming those trees. I talk to the trees. Really, I do. I should have told you that probably.
Probably not.
We must have had about 400 geese fly over the house. Just waves of them yesterday. And I couldn't get up to get Carol down to see them. So I just held my arms out and said, "Can I go too?" And they wouldn't take me. The verse 27, being baptized into Christ, I quote for you the Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary where they say, this verse proves that baptism, where it answers to its ideal, is not a mere empty sign, but a means of spiritual transference from the state of legal condemnation to that in living union with Christ.
Wow.
That's a neat trick for a tank of water. Where it answers to its ideal, that clause is where you make room for babies being baptized by faithful parents who have godfathers in place in case the faithful parents die. The godfather and godmother having committed to raising the child, quote unquote, in the church. So that's the clause where it answers to its ideal. And it's not a mere empty sign. It is, you know, a means of spiritual transference. That's called a sacrament. Mm-hmm. That's what the way for God is. It's a sacrament. It's a means of spiritual transference. You can spend $50, buy the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary, be very impressed, but they're all their smoke and mirrors. And you've got baptismal regenerates writing the commentary for you according to their own exposition of the verse. Sad. Now clearly, baptized and baptizo has to do with immersion for the sake of identification. Immersion into what? The element that one is baptized into determines what sort of baptism it is. When I'm baptized into Christ, Christ is not a tank of water.
Amen.
Yes, sir. So it's important to let the words mean what they say. When I put on Christ, that's not water. Were it, then I shouldn't towel him off. I mean, why would you want to ever be dry?
Absolutely.
So, when the Church of Christ tells you that when you get water baptized, that water contacts the blood of Christ, I believe that about as much as I believe that there were dinosauruses 180 jillion years ago and that this big old spit wad from heaven came down and landed there in the Gulf of Mexico and killed them all. Yeah. I know on good authority that what killed the dinosaurs, Gary Larson, Far Side, shows me they were smokers. You got dinosaurs sitting outside the high school. That's what killed them. I get a lot of theology from peanuts here. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. You are all one. That then is going to have to be something different from a baptistry.
Yes.
Now people like to use the preceding verse about water baptism, but how about this? There's men and women in the baptistry.
Yes.
That's why they buy these baptismal gowns.
Yep.
That's why the baptismal gowns are weighted.
Yeah.
So they don't float over the lady's head when she's problems, logistical issues. So clearly, the verse is in a spiritual and not a physical context. The verse is used, first time it was used on me was by a preacherette, and she was the Brethren Church of Salem Avenue. It's before you get very far from Salem Avenue at all, on the right hand side, before you get to and now it is past the years. She came into the store and she was just up one side of me and down the other side of me because Galatians chapter 3 verse 28 says it shouldn't matter. Well, that verse is about our relationship in Christ Jesus as members of the body of Christ. It's not about your assignment or my assignment or somebody else's assignment and specific duties to perform. There is a revolt by a lot of ladies against being female.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
How many years ago was it? It had to be back in like about 1981, 1982. We had books in our Christian bookstore where the ladies were saying, it's okay for me to stay at home if I want to. Like they were being picked on if they didn't have a career, they didn't have a job, they had to fulfill themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not real sure driving a bulldozer and spitting on a sidewalk is all that fulfilling. Ladies. Maybe I'll let the men do some of these stupid things. I mean, if you're really into finding out how a slit trench works or wearing a helmet and shooting people, I think there's something. I'm old and I am. There's something wrong with a country that sends its mommies to fight its wars.
Yes.
I'm sorry. There's something wrong with a country that does that.
Yes.
Instead of nurturing the next generation, she's over there killing somebody. I beg your pardon. If that's sexist, so be it. There's something wrong with a country.
That's right.
We've coarsened so much
Yes.
Mr. Roloff used to say that when the ladies go to pop, the country's over.
He was right.
And anymore, you have to think he might have been onto something.
Yes.
Well, neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. The issue of all of us being one and complete in Christ is something that we should all have a comfort level about. Now, sometimes ladies fuss. How come the man gets to be the head of the house? How come the man gets to be the preacher? How come Father God gets to be Father God and Jesus has to walk around in sandals? Is Jesus any less God than Father God?
No.
Are not the three one?
Amen.
Wasn't that a position he took to do a particular job?
That's right.
Can we learn anything from that?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Nobody's better, lesser, different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's these loud things that aren't very popular. And I'm running up against several of them this evening. One of the beauties of verse-by-verse Bible study is you don't get to hide from them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to deal with them.
Yeah.
There. And you can't skip over and placate the crowd and sing songs to the air conditioner so that you don't offend anybody that's in the auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my greatest growth experiences personally have been from people who were willing to offend me and willing to chew me out, straighten me out, and call my attention to some things that maybe I was blindsided
to. Yes.
At least for me it works. Now, Scofield really ran up against it in his study Bible in Matthew chapter 22, verse 30, where you have the verse of resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Scofield's note is not in Matthew 22. It's in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, where Scofield's note on the subject actually is, because I think it's there where he talks about angels. And in Scofield's note about angels, he says, in the resurrection, they neither marry or given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. The word is always used in the masculine gender, though sex, in the human sense, is never ascribed to angels. It's funny, I find him call a man quite a few times, and he says right in his own note that it's a masculine term.
Mm-hmm.
So, at any rate, you've got that out there. You've got a lot of confusion that comes from these verses. That's why I called it hands full of heresies, and that's why there are these problems, with which we can breeze right through and don't have a lot of problem with it. The verse, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, yes, there are males, yes, there are females. In Christ, it's all one creature, the body of Christ, all the new creature, which is his body.
That's right.
We are, however, created male and female.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a third or fourth classification. I see the two classifications.
Mm-hmm.
The two classifications have a function. It's called procreation.
Yes.
God, in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, put a machine in place. The earth pretty well waters itself, pretty well dries itself out. The trees, they pretty well grow their seeds and start over. Human beings are capable of procreation.
Yes.
God put that in place. The same sex unions aren't unions.
No.
They can't procreate. What people have done is take what God put in place to recreate the population and have turned it into recreation.
That's a good one.
Where you don't have sex, you are a sex.
Yes.
And you have sexual intercourse.
Yes.
Which produces offspring.
Yes.
Not
recreation.
Yes. A party game.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. How tricky is this? Apparently, it's difficult. Apparently, there's a lot of folks that have a lot of trouble with it. But I think that's well said. We've taken what God put in place for recreation and we've turned it into a game. And are very irresponsible about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
People ridiculed, remember Dan Quayle when he gave a shot to Murphy Brown about her being a bad pattern? Single mom? One of that? It's almost half now of babies raised by one.
That's right.
Well, verse 29, I need to move on. If ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Am I his seed plural, or am I a product of the seed singular? It's going to be by Christ. It's going to be by faith. How would I read Israel and the law into verse 29 when he has hit me alongside the head about 14 times in the previous 28 verses?
That's right.
Well, the way you do it is called proof texting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The way you do it is by wresting a verse out of its context. So if you be Christ by faith, by a spiritual baptism, faith counted for righteousness, then you're Abraham's seed, not of physical Israel, but rather by faith in Christ Jesus, not by the law, not by Israel. We are not the inheritors of heaven on earth.
That's right.
Heaven on earth. The idea of living in the kingdom now is called postmillennialism.
Yes.
Since there's bad things and naughty people, we who are running things for Jesus need to deal with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we all have a right to make as much money as we can. We don't have a right to keep it. Because we are our brother's keeper. Mm-hmm. And we should, when we get to a certain point, start giving it away.
Yeah.
That's Matthew 25. Listen to that. So, kingdom theology, it's out there big time. Mm-hmm. You need to know it. When a little bespectacled 5'4" lady in her 60s, she's in another country and she is getting people all riled up about not letting the government control what you can farm and whether or not you can buy land. And she's trying to get a little cadre of people to fight the government and to work toward overthrowing the government for the sake of having everybody have free access to land. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with the nun from Dayton that got shot in El Salvador.
Yeah.
She wasn't there telling anybody Christ died for their sins.
No.
She was telling everybody you have a right to free land.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nun Strange. It's amazing. Most of the world wants the kingdom now. Without the kingdom.
Yes.
Two chickens in every pot. Two cars in every garage.
Yes.
That'll get you right there. My blessings are spiritual.
Yes.
I said something in a message of mine decades ago. Sometimes I speak a little bit extemporaneously. I try not to. I try to be kind of in control. But I said something off the top of my head. I said, anything I have that's not on fire is a bonus.
Yeah.
And I thought, was well said.
Yes.
You deserve to be rotting in hell. Anything you have that's not on fire is a bonus. And to have a good day on a sin-cursed earth where Satan's the god of this world should be a shock.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Not normal, but a shock. Our blessings are spiritual, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, in heavenly places. And so Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, tell me to set my affection on things above.
Yes.
Not. Oh, man. Have you got hold of those verses yet? I haven't. I mean, I'm still incapable of seeing something. I'd like to have one of those.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Yes. I was working on my snowblower the other day. Didn't realize I bought that thing in 96.
Wow.
I have nursed this Cub Cadet 14 and a half horsepower snowblower for 14 years.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, why do I have this? Well, I don't know how you get it's a fight.
Yes.
I suppose there's a reasonableness about not wanting to walk up and down a third of a mile lane in the cold 10-degree weather, blowing snow. You'd rather have a newer, dependable machine. I suppose there's a reasonableness to that. When I start caring about what color it is and how fast, then maybe I've gone too far.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's just hard to know where these lines are drawn. So I guess I'm going to have to leave it to each one of you to draw your own lines. Not to take anybody you know as a pattern, but rather to submit to your Bible.
Yes.
And let it work effectually in you, and you draw your own lines.
Yes.
Oh, what a concept. Now, your lines may be much more stringent than mine, and you're waiting for me to catch up. In some areas of your life, and in other areas of your life, it may be I'm looking for you to catch on. But we're all growing in God's grace, and I'll tell you this. As long as you're leaning in the right direction, I'm all for you.
Yes, amen.
When you start quitting on the Lord, I start worrying about you.
Mm-hmm.
So be faithful. Press on for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When you're pressing, do you get to quit?
No.
You're always pressing.
Yeah.
There's no quit to it. As soon as you remove your shoulder from the wheel, you're no longer pressing.
That's right.
I close your outline this evening with seven positional truths that I enjoy, you enjoy. And the position that God has given me, that's so important for me to learn that. So then I know who I am. I wouldn't have known until I read my Bible that I'm crucified with Christ. I was taught many things in my early church life that were counter to sound Bible doctrine when it comes to dealing with the inner man and being in control of the outer man. It was important that I get my head screwed on real tight.
Yes.
All of us need to understand these doctrinal truths.
Yes.
So that then we walk in newness of life, because after all, we all start out new. We're newbies, aren't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A1, you're saved, and the sky's a little bluer.
Yeah.
Birds are singing a little louder.
Yeah.
But we don't know much. That being the case, then, and I just freed you from the law, you're fixing to run amok, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's chapter 4 going to be about? Tutors and governors.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pick up there next time.